Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Well, it has been a long-standing problem throughout the history of the United States. Whether it is historic or simply places of residence, worship, schools, or even final resting places, whether it's at the destruction of mobs, or through eminent domain, neglect, or lack of historical awareness, African-American spaces have consistently been in a constant, perilous state. An African-American cemetery, in our area, the latest in peril. Tonight, we're talking about it and more. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'd like to hear from you. Our guest tonight, Dr. Marsha Coleman Adebayo. She's the president of the Bethesda African Cemetery Coalition, and Steve Lieberman. He's an attorney. Phone lines again are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Adebayo and Mr. Lieberman, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so
much. Good evening, Bramante.
Dr. Adebayo, I'm going to start with you. The Bethesda African Cemetery Coalition had a hearing today before the Maryland Special Appeals Court. Tell us about what that was about and what the result was today.
Well, I think probably our attorney is in a better position to really give you the details of that. Should we just go to him first?
Sure. Mr. Lieberman, tell us a little bit about what the case was about, why you guys were in court today in Annapolis.
Of course. So off of River Road in Bethesda, Maryland, there's an asphalt-covered parking lot. It's the parking lot for an apartment tower called the Westwood Towers. In most respects, it's a rather unexceptional parking lot. It looks like every other parking lot. The difference is that buried underneath the asphalt are the bodies of at least 200 human beings. And they're mostly people who had been enslaved on plantations that existed in the River Road area before emancipation, and the descendants of those people who had been enslaved. What the case is about is to obtain a degree of respect and dignity for the people whose bodies are buried under this parking lot, on top of whom cars park every day. The land is owned by a quasi-governmental agency called the Housing Opportunities Commission. It's an agency that's supposed to act in the public interest. But it's known for years that its parking lot has these bodies buried under it. And Dr. Coleman Adebayo, Reverend Adebayo, the pastor of the Macedonia Baptist Church, have been leading a struggle for, I think, 6 or 7 years now to try to get HOC to do something about it. And they refused. Not only did they refuse, something they did last year simply broke the law of Maryland. They had entered into a contract to sell the property, which includes the parking lot, for $51 million. And the law in Maryland is very clear. The law in Maryland says that if you own property that has a burial ground on it, even if that ground is not currently serving as an active burial ground, before you sell the property to somebody who's going to use it for purposes other than a burial ground, you have to go into court and you have to get permission from the court to sell the property, and the court can impose conditions. For example, the court could ask the descendants of the people buried there, what do they want to happen to their ancestors' bodies? Do they want them memorialized? Do they want them disinterred and reinterred somewhere else? But the HOC simply went ahead and entered into this contract, didn't file the lawsuit that's required. So the Bethesda African Cemetery Coalition and the pastor of the Macedonia Baptist Church and three descendants of people buried under that parking lot went to court last August, and we obtained an order from a very, very brilliant judge, a judge named Carla Smith, and she stopped HOC from making the sale unless it complied with the law.
So just for the sake of time, Mr. Lieberman, I'm just going to sort of jump right to than what happened in court today, because the HOC was appealing that ruling. And so was there a decision today?
No decision today. There was argument in the Maryland Court of Special Appeals. HOC, rather than complying with the court's order, decided to appeal using taxpayers' money. And there was an argument today, and we're expecting a resolution from the court in a matter of weeks to months, sometime in the next couple of months, probably.
And so, Dr. Adebayo, what is it that you hope will happen? Do you want the parking lot and the apartment building to be taken down and the cemetery repaired and headstones put there? What is it that your coalition ultimately wants to see done?
Well, ultimately, we would like to see this area turned into a museum or a sacred space, very much like the New York Burial Ground Project on Wall Street, a place where people can understand what happened to this erased community on River Road. Bethesda is generally thought of as a lily white area, and people don't really necessarily question politicians when they say Bethesda is 99.9% white. But the reality is that in that area of Bethesda, black people owned all the land. They owned the land that they had been forced and kidnapped and forced to serve on in that area. And after emancipation, they bought the land. And in fact, they bought so much land in Bethesda that a portion of it where the black community lived was called Graylin, after Charlotte Gray, who was an entrepreneur and had just literally bought so much land that the community honored her by calling a portion of Bethesda Grayland. I just wanted to also make a couple of comments about in terms of what our attorney was saying. You know, the late 1950s and 60s, when they were constructing the apartment building that we call Westwood Towers, when they were excavating what is now the basement, that's when they found the bodies, some of the bodies, not all of them, but some of the bodies of our ancestors who had been buried in this area. And instead of honoring them as the French did in Normandy with the American bodies, providing a beautiful landscaped area where people could visit and pray and think about what had happened, they in fact chopped up the bodies. And in order, because the bodies kept sort of, at first they just, you know, sort of pushed the bodies down the ground, you know, buried them, and then, but the bodies kept coming, bubbling up during rainy season in Maryland. And so they decided basically they were tired of dealing with these dead people, and they literally chopped up the bodies and scattered the bodies throughout this area. I mean, this gross human rights violations. And instead of telling the truth about this atrocity that occurred in Bethesda on River Road, Montgomery County has engaged in a cover-up since that time. Because, you know, 6 years ago when we first found out about this, Montgomery County lied to us and said that it was an alleged cemetery, that it was the fantasy and mythology that a cemetery existed there. They lied to us for years.
And we
started to do the research, and we found the reality that, in fact, there was a cemetery there.
And we should state it, it's the Moses Macedonia African Cemetery. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we are talking about historic places, resting places of African Americans, and trying to hang on to them, keep them from being destroyed, and finding many of them that have been discovered under rubble. Headstones discovered in the Potomac River within the past year of a cemetery here in D.C., and many other stories. And why is this happening, and what can be done to, in some ways, resurrect many of these spaces that have been bulldozed over, but we are finding remnants of those spaces, either through bodies or artifacts. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'd like to get your thoughts on this topic. Have you had experiences with this, either with family members, friends, property that's been taken and now trying to retrieve that property? Mr. Lieberman, beyond cemeteries, and I know that's the specific issue we're dealing with and that you're dealing with the Moses Macedonia African American Cemetery. But as I mentioned in the setup, this issue of property, of spaces, African American spaces being taken in whatever manner is not a new story. And so what are the remedies? What avenues do groups have? Is it just legal? And it's an uphill battle, I would think, when you already have properties sitting over top of cemeteries or properties have been destroyed. What are the remedies for African-American descendants to right. sort of rectify these problems, these issues?
So it's a great question. Let me start with sort of the easiest answer, which is there are a lot of abandoned, poorly kept African-American cemeteries in Maryland and throughout the United States. Those burial grounds are entitled to protection. Unfortunately, in Maryland, we have some very good laws that provide protection for those burial grounds. But when a burial ground like that is threatened, people have to stand up and do something about it. They have to use the legal system. They have to approach the political leaders and say, this is sacred space, and it's got to be treated the same way as a beautifully manicured, fenced-in cemetery in a wealthy area. Because, you know, people look at the traditional African-American cemeteries, and they see, unless they look carefully, something that looks to them of very little worth. And we all have to remind the people who pull the political levers that this is sacred space, and there are ways to do that. First, you do it by approaching the politicians. If that doesn't work, the court system is something that we've used here with, I think, significant effect. The laws are good. They just have to be used. We've got cases going back 200 years that can help somebody who's trying to protect the cemetery.
202. Oh, I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
If you're dealing with a cemetery that's already been paved over, that's already been partially dug up, it's harder. But it's still not impossible. There's, for example, a statute which says when you're dealing with property like that and somebody wants to sell it, and of course, you know, people always want to sell property because property is always looking for its highest economic value. So when there's a proposed sale, there is a statute which allows people to go into court and try to stop the sale unless the statute is complied with. If you have a building that's already on the property, if you have houses that are already on the property, well, that's a lot harder. You've got competing interests. But, you know, this is the sort of thing where I think our society has a strong interest in making sure that the bodies of American citizens are all treated equally in death, that they're all, you know, all of these burial grounds are treated like the sacred spaces that they are.
And I'm sure
so they're hard issues.
Yeah, and that's part of the Bethesda African Cemetery Coalition, Dr. Adebayo, your mission here, and we're going to get to a little bit more of that. I want to go to the phone lines before we have to take a break. Pamela is calling from Virginia. Pamela, go right ahead with your question or comment.
Hi, and I know Dr. Adebayo from some environmental work we did back in the day. I am actually a caregiver for an African-American cemetery, a family cemetery in Vicksburg, Mississippi. So we fight these battles all over the country, but I wanted to give this group encouragement. We had this exact same fight in Richmond, Virginia, with the historic African-American burial ground. It has been unearthed. Virginia Commonwealth University had paved over it. They found the bones. They found the bodies. Dr. Michael Blakely was involved, who used to be at Howard. We were able, with a group called Defenders of Freedom, Justice, and Equality, over years, we were able to get to wear VCU down, They turned over the land. We took off the asphalt, and we celebrate Gabriel Day on that land every second Monday in October on the 11th. So this coming Monday, we will continue. We will celebrate Gabriel Day on the same land that was an African-American burial ground in the city of Richmond. It was on historic maps, and it still was acquired and paved over. And it was a very public fight with community-based people and lawyers and activists and elected officials. So you all can win in Bethesda. I would be happy to work with you on this and get in touch with us down in Richmond. We did this and we won.
And thank you so much, Pamela, for your call. I'm sure Ms. Adebayo will get in touch with you. Ms. Adebayo, before we go to break real quick, if folks want to get in touch with your organization and the coalition, how will they do that?
There are a couple of ways. I mean, we're on social media, of course, but you could go to our website at BethesdaAfricanCemeteryCoalition.net and just click on the Contact Us, and we'll be in touch with you very soon. I think that's the easiest and quickest way to reach us.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, but don't forget you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone line, stay right there. If not, give us a call. The phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM, yes. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on WHUR 96.3. Stay with us. We'll continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight we are talking about historic African-American sites. Some may not even be historic, but they may be important to those who know them, and how to preserve those, how to fight to preserve those legally and through legislation. We're talking about that tonight. Specifically, we're zeroing in on a cemetery that is underneath a parking lot, an apartment complex in Bethesda, Maryland. It's the Moses Macedonia African American Cemetery, and there are those who are fighting to have that cemetery recognized and that pavement brought up, that building taken down, and again, a memorial put on that site. Joining us tonight is Dr. Marcia Coleman Adebayo. She's the president of the Bethesda African Cemetery Coalition. And Steve Lieberman, he is an attorney working with that coalition and that fight to preserve and resurrect, really, in many ways, the Moses Macedonian African Cemetery in Bethesda. Phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. 810. We're going to stay on the phone lines and go to Claude, who's calling from the district. Go right ahead, Claude, with your question or comment.
Yes, thank you very much. This is a comment. I've been following this, and I will take this forward with my friends and relatives in the Atlanta and Alabama area regarding black cemeteries. But I'm wondering if it's possible, if there's not a competing interest with a building erected on certain sites, if it could be perhaps landlocked, and then therefore maybe try to have it memorialized in the sense of, you know, instead of just trying to, you know, crack open the cement, get the remaining bodies if, you know, if they're not in whole, you know, condition per se. But that's kind of like my comment, but it's very interesting, and I'm definitely going to be following this with high degree of interest.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Claude. Dr. Adebayo, I think you had mentioned, though, that that is what you would want, correct? A memorial, because do we know if there are still bodies there underneath that pavement? Because you mentioned what was done to many of the bodies that were there while they were building that apartment complex and paving over the cemetery.
Right. Well, you know, I wanted to mention, first of all, I'd love to get in touch with the young lady who called in. So maybe we could do that through your good office. And also just a second point is that we're not asking for the apartment building to be brought down. We're talking about the parking lot even though we know that there are bodies underneath the apartment building. It's not one of our demands that the apartment building should be destroyed, but just that the parking lot itself should be turned into a memorial and a museum. I think you know, one of the issues that we're dealing with is that land in Bethesda is very precious. The area the parking lot that we're talking about is worth right now in terms of market value around $51 million. That was the price that a developer was willing to pay for this area. And so one of the problems that we're having is that the county and the Housing Opportunities Commission, they don't really understand or they don't appreciate the value of human beings as opposed to profit. So for them, this is an area where they're involved in the process of laundering black bodies, quite frankly. They'd like to basically erase the memories and the artifacts of those people so that they can make money off of land. So this is really, in many ways, all about money in the Bethesda area. And I think the second part that it's really all about is power. And that is people having power over something as precious as your loved ones and being able to sort of hold you captive because you are so engaged in trying to memorialize and to honor people that you love. So I think the two parts to this story, I'm not from this area. I'm actually from Detroit, Michigan. And my family's burial ground is in Dublin, Georgia, for example. But it's in a very rural area, and it's not under threat because the land is not valued at the same level that land in Bethesda, Maryland is valued. So that is one of the problems we're having, is the fact that this land is so expensive.
And Mr. Lieberman, is part of the issue here, you believe, and again, phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Claude, thank you so much for your call. Do you believe part of this is a worry of precedent setting by the county that if they allow this ruling to stand, that there will be a precedent that there are probably, I'm sure that there are other African-American cemeteries underneath parking lots. I believe that there is a African-American cemetery underneath Route 10 here in Arlington, right outside of Arlington Cemetery. Many people don't know that cemetery land owned by the Custises came all the way out to Route 10. And so they really haven't been able to identify that particular African-American cemetery, but they're not going to dig up that highway. So would the county be worried about precedent that if this ruling stands, then other groups outside of Bethesda African American Cemetery Coalition will come along and say, wait a minute, we've got sonar that shows that there are bodies underneath this location, that location, other, as Dr. Adebayo said, prosperous pieces of land?
Yeah. So I think that the Housing Opportunities Commission is motivated by its own self-interest. It wants to be able to sell this property. It will make a $30 million windfall off of what it purchased the property for. And that's what's motivating HLC. In terms of what's motivating county officials, I think it varies from person to person.
I want you to go back just to clarify something for our listeners. The Housing Opportunities Commission, is that a Montgomery County county department? That's a governmental department that is buying the property? Is that correct?
So the current owner of the property, the Montgomery County Housing Opportunities Commission, is a quasi-governmental agency that's charged with providing low-income housing.
And they would be selling it to a private entity. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay.
And they bought the property for around $20 million a few years ago, and they had a contract to sell it for $51 million. As far as we can tell, that seems to be what's motivating them to make the sale. They want to make the money so that the Housing Opportunities Commission has the money to do, you know, whatever it does with its resources, which is to provide low-income housing. The problem is that it's not taking account of the fact that under the parking lot are 200-plus bodies. And, Bramante, I wanted to go back to a question you had asked a few minutes ago. How do we know there are still bodies under there? And the answer is there was eyewitness testimony regarding what happened during the construction process. And the process involved, you know, a relatively small number of bodies that were unearthed during the initial excavation work for the parking lot. And those bodies were body parts, were put into burlap bags, according to eyewitness testimony, thrown in the backs of trucks and taken off to be disposed of. But it was just a few before the developer of the property realized this was a big problem. And at that point, the developer instructed the construction company that the area be paved over with asphalt in such a way so that no more bodies would come to the surface during the rest of the work. There was expert testimony at the hearing that there were probably 200 or more bodies underneath the parking lot. It was also really moving testimony by an elder of the Macedonia Baptist Church named Harvey Matthews, who testified that he used to play in that cemetery in the 1950s when he was a child. And he used to play there because the parks in Montgomery County at that point were segregated. He had nowhere else to play, he and his friends. And he testified that he recalls his own personal knowledge that there were as many as 200 graves right where the parking lot is now.
Mm-hmm.
So the math is not hard to do. If you had 200-plus graves and just a few bodies were discarded during the course of construction, the vast majority are still there.
And Dr. Adebayo, just sort of for informational purposes, for those who are listening and even for me here, as Mr. Lieberman said, now we've got testimony of an eyewitness saying that, you know, he played in the cemetery, he knew the cemetery was there. So at the time during this building, were there no headstones that were there? Where was the church? Was it adjacent to the cemetery? So I'm trying to understand and maybe even, you know, illuminate for our listeners, how is it that it wasn't known that a cemetery, it was clear that there was a cemetery. Were there no headstones? Was the church not nearby the cemetery?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the church was, of course, near the cemetery. As you know, most, particularly in the between 1920s and 1950s, most African-American churches had associated burial grounds. And Macedonia Baptist Church was no different. Macedonia Baptist Church was established in 1920. And in fact, the Macedonia Baptist Church was adjacent to the cemetery, but because that area is a wetlands area and it kept flooding, the church actually moved across the street and it now sits on a little hill on River Road in Bethesda. But the River Road community was under siege. There was an active Klan organization that would march up and down River Road, according to Harvey Matthews, about two or three times a week. They actually had a lookout person who would basically give a signal to the community that the Klan was coming. The Klan, as well as Montgomery County, as well as the businesses, they wanted the land that the black community had bought after emancipation. And so there was what they called a blackout period. When the Klan would march down River Road, all the black families would basically huddle together in their homes and turn off the lights and just pray that no one would be hurt or injured or killed by the Klan. In fact, the same person that we're talking about, Mr. Harvey Matthews, recounts that when his family refused to sell the land, at one point the Klan broke into the house, pulled his father out of the house, and beat him nearly to death in front of the family. So this was a community that was being displaced, and they were being forced to sell their land. And in that context, people were moving and trying to stay alive and survive this violent, vile attack by white supremacists. Once they were able to basically move the community out, which occurred around the early 1960s, then they really set in on desecrating the cemetery. They demolished the headstones. They started to, you know, do the kind of work that we've been talking about in terms of, you know, laying the foundation for a parking lot. But this is you have to really understand that it wasn't that the community wanted to abandon its cemetery. It was forced to flee the River Road area out of threat of death and to find, you know, peaceful and safe place to live. And so the community was wiped out on River Road. Not one family survived the Klan and Montgomery County attack on River Road.
And that is something for us to think about, as many of us may travel up and down River Road, seeing those stately mansions, beautifully manicured lawns, and the history of that area that many of us do not know about, but we're sharing tonight. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Still a little bit more time for you to get in your questions or your comments. We're talking about saving sacred African-American spaces. This is the Daily Drum Insight segment. We'll be right back after this quick break. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. And tonight we're talking about saving sacred African-American spaces. And how do we do that? And what is happening with those spaces and how to combat what has been a unfortunate reoccurrence throughout American history, and that is either the desecration or the outright stealing of African-American spaces in the United States. Our guest tonight is Dr. Marsha Coleman Adebayo. She's the president of the Bethesda African-American Cemetery Coalition. And Steve Lieberman, he is an attorney working with the Bethesda African-American Cemetery Coalition to have a memorial for the Moses Macedonia African Cemetery placed in Bethesda, Maryland, where that cemetery is, underneath most of it, a parking lot and part of an apartment building. So we're talking about that tonight. Phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810. And also, we had a caller earlier, and I cannot remember the young lady's name, but I know Dr. Adebayo wanted to get in touch with her about what was happening down in Virginia. And I think she said it was in Richmond. Is that right, Dr. Adebayo?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. I'd love to.
And if we can, if we can have you call back. I'm not sure if our producer caught your information, but I know Dr. Adebayo would like to get in touch with you. So if you're listening, feel free to call back on the line, and we'll make sure we get that information to Dr. Adebayo. Mr. Lieberman, listen, what is happening with the Macedonia African Cemetery, Moses and Macedonia African Cemetery? As I mentioned earlier, this is not new. This has happened throughout our history. This is happening in all parts of our country. You know, some reports, particularly in Texas and North Carolina, Virginia, Georgia, and Florida, you're really seeing a movement that's been growing to protect African-American cemeteries. Does that help that you are seeing more and more states sort of moving in this direction? And can legislation help tremendously in preserving what is already there and helping to resurrect what has been paved over, built over? Can state legislatures play a large role in sort of trying to help fix this continued problem?
And the answer is absolutely yes. So, for example, in this case, the HOC is arguing a legal technicality, and saying that the way the statute is written, the property owner has the option of complying with the statute or not complying with the statute. We don't believe they're reading the law right. We think the court is going to order them, if they wish to sell the property, to comply with the statute, to bring the lawsuit. But if the court rules the other way, then that's a fix that can be made by the legislature. The legislature can enact a new statute or modify the existing statute. Also, you know, your many listeners can be very helpful here. There's a big question as to why the HOC is refusing to sit down with the descendants of the people buried under the parking lot to talk about a resolution that's fair and just and preserves the dignity of those people. The HOC is a quasi-public agency, and people should, you know, write the HOC. They should email the HOC and ask them, you know, why are they taking this position? Why are they allowing people to continue to park on top of 200 human bodies? And not just the HOC. There are county officials like Mark Elrich, who's the county executive for Montgomery County. Mr. Elrich has acknowledged that the parking lot covers the Macedonia African Cemetery. But he says he doesn't have the power to compel the HOC to fix the problem. Well, the county executive is a very powerful position. And I would urge your listeners to get in touch with Mr. Elrich and tell him what they think he ought to be doing, what they, the voters, think he ought to be doing. So you asked a great question. The legislature can be very helpful here. The political leaders can be very helpful. And frankly, somebody needs to shake some sense into the HOC because their behavior is just inexplicable and it's cruel.
Dr. Adebayo, many of those may know the name Dred Scott. Not everybody may know all the particulars, but he was a slave, and in 1857, in a Supreme Court case, his case went all the way up to the Supreme Court. Dred Scott was suing for his freedom, saying his master had taken him into free territory, and therefore, once he set foot in that free territory, he should be free. The Chief Justice at the time, Roger B. Taney, a Marylander, ruled that no, that is not the case, and blacks had no rights which the white man was bound to respect. It is probably the most infamous Supreme Court ruling in the United States history. The coalition that you are with says the Moses Macedonia African American Cemetery is HOC's 21st century Dred Scott. Right. Elaborate on that. Why pull Dred Scott or compare, put Dred Scott as the example of what the HOC is doing here in the 21st century?
Right. Yeah, the Taney decision is very important to us because you talked about precedent. You talked about precedent a few minutes ago. What is the long-term impact across the nation of this situation? And the reality, one of the things that our attorney said at our press conference today, is that, you know, if, in fact, African-Americans can no longer control whether or not their loved ones are being dug up without throughout the United States, I mean, this is happening in Maryland right now, but the implications certainly are very clear that if we lose this case, then corporations can point to this case and say, we don't have to tell African-American families that we're digging up their loved ones and sending them to landfills where we're using their loved ones' bodies for medical experimentation. Because, in fact, the law says that we have an option whether or not we tell the court or we tell a family what we do with what we are doing with the bodies once they're buried. That means that essentially we have no rights at this point over the disposition of our bodies, over the bodies of our loved ones. And for us, that's a very slippery slope. We are talking about selling black bodies. We've got to be real clear about this. We're talking about selling black bodies. Now, in this case, at this moment in history, we're talking about selling black bodies. But that's a very slippery slope because we've been in a situation in this country where they were selling live black bodies So that when the Taney decision says that black people have no rights that whites are bound to respect, if you cannot control whether or not your mom and your dad or your grandparents have a right to lie in peace without a developer coming and digging them up and taking them to a landfill or using their bodies for medical experimentation or whatever they decide they need to do, you have no rights at that point. I mean, you've given up a fundamental human right at that point, right? And so I think this is the point where African Americans and folks of good conscience, we come together and we say we stop it here. You know, we stop this idea of selling black bodies right here in Bethesda right now, because the implications of that on a national scale or international scale is unimaginable. So,
we have been.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go right ahead, Mr. Lieberman.
I just want to be clear on something. There isn't any assertion that the BACC is making that the bodies that were unearthed are being used for medical experiments. What I think Dr. Adebayo was saying is that the same respect needs to be shown to the bodies of black people as to white people. And we have laws in this country. We've had laws for 200 years. There was a brilliant Supreme Court decision back in 1829 that said if the sepulchers of the dead are to be violated, the remedy must be sought, if at all, in the protective power of the Court of Chancery. Meaning the Supreme Court said 200 years ago, you can't mess with graves. You can't mess with graves. And the law now should be applied equally. That law should apply equally to black burial grounds as to white burial grounds. Every dead person is entitled to have his or her body treated with dignity and respect. That's what this lawsuit is about. And that's what we're asking. We're asking for the Moses African Cemetery to be treated the same way that any person would want a burial ground with their ancestors treated.
And I would also add, if you know, just 5 or 6 miles away from the Macedonia African Cemetery, there's a cemetery called the Aspen Hill Cemetery for Pets. And if you go to that cemetery, it's manicured. It looks almost, you know, like Arlington National. I mean, you know, the tombstones are in a row. The grass is cut. 5 miles from that, you go to Moses, and our ancestors are under a parking lot. I mean, so you compare the way the county treats a pet cemetery as compared to the way it's treating our ancestors. It's unacceptable.
Well, this is a conversation that we will continue to have. It's an important conversation, and our hopes are that this issue will be resolved, and it will be the first of many that will be resolved in the right way beyond the state of Maryland, but throughout the United States, because, again, it's an ongoing issue, and it's an historical wrong that needs to be righted. Dr. Marshall Coleman Adebayo, president of the Bethesda African American Center Coalition, and Steve Lieberman, attorney at law. We thank you both so much for joining us and helping us and enlightening us on this issue. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
That's the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Thursday, October 6th. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.